what I'm saying is that when you're determining for determining the validity of the ballot or whether it's illegal or illegal, I assume they are collected and you determine whether the rules have been followed and so forth. And then those who have the ballots in hand have to advise the chairperson. Hello.
Goodness gracious.
What is that?
I don't know. Could whoever in a very noisy environment please mute themselves?
Somebody continuously. Okay. Over here?
I'm here. I'm hearing the same noises.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Can you try again, Nat? Okay, so, go ahead, Nathaniel.
What I'm saying is that those persons who have the collection of the ballots at the time, if they note any deficiency, should bring this to the attention of the chair at the time. I mean, for instance, if there are some ballots who might be illegal or whatever, might affect the results, that's when it's brought to attention. And apparently this was not an item that of concern at that time. If you follow me.
Could you repeat that, Nat?
I'm not clear. Excuse me, Mary. I don't understand the answer to the question. The question was about Robert's rules.
Yeah.
And that the body should approve those that are proposed to be disqualified. And I'm not understanding what the answer is. It's hard to hear.
Well,
maybe I missed.
I would like to read the following from Voting Procedure, Section 45 of Robert's. Small technical errors, like the misspelling of a word or name, do not make a vote illegal if the meaning of the ballot is clear.
Correct.
But intelligible ballots or ballots cast for an unidentifiable candidate or fictional character are treated as illegal votes. If the meaning of one or more ballots is doubtful, they can be treated as illegal if it is impossible for them to affect the result. But if they may affect the result, the teller should report them to the chair, who will immediately submit to the assembly the question of how these ballots should be recorded. And from what I'm hearing regarding the difficulties with the software, it would not have been possible for anybody to determine one way or another whether those ballots could have affected the outcome. And so it wouldn't have been possible to agree that they could not have affected the outcome.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
This was something, this is Angela. I talked to both Carol and Jim about this, although it was pretty, well, Jim I talked to the next day, Carol I think it was the next week, but we did talk about figuring out different interpretations. there were a couple ways to interpret the ballots, each of the disqualified ballots, and so we talked about figuring the vote. What I said to Jim that I would do is I would take my best guesses at what the voters meant, and I would figure if it affected the vote, if it affected the results, based on my best guess.
But if I may, Angela, what Roberts is saying is that if they can affect the result, the tellers have to report that to the chair, and the chair submits to the assembly the question of how the ballot should be recorded, not whether they should be excluded or not, but how they should be recorded. And so that's one of the issues before us.
Yeah, that's
right.
Correct.
So, and I think I'm addressing that, if I understand what you're saying. What I had said was there were at least two different ways that each of the ballots could be interpreted. So I had suggested figuring the results with it both ways to see if it would affect the results and then submitting it for review.
I see. So
I'm saying plug it in the different ways you come up with, and if it always, what I said to Jim was, if every way you plug it in, it changes the vote, because as I understood it, there were lots of candidates and few ballots. You know, it was a very low end. I think there were 18 voters or something like that.
Right.
And so my assumption was almost any way that you put it in, this is going to affect the vote. But if
right.
it's not, then at least you know.
Right. So you were saying try it each way, and then if it did turn out to have an effect, then you would follow the procedure of submitting it to the chair and letting the assembly determine how those were counted. So was that done?
I believe it was not done, and I think Carol had some concerns about the ethics of doing that.
Yeah, I didn't
want... And I think Jim may have, too.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to handle the ballots in that way again. That was my reason for not doing it. I don't know at this point. I don't even know if it would have an effect on the election. And you answered the question, no, it was not done.
Yeah, I was going to say, I still think it hasn't been done, and people seem to think that that would open a whole other can of worms.
Okay. Ray, you had asked the question of Joe also. Can you repeat what that was?
No, that was a question. I have another question, though, if I'm allowed, there was a wait while.
Does anybody else mind if Ray proceeds? Okay, go
mind
ahead, Ray.
What? Okay.
Okay, I had one question I had was to why people didn't object, and I understand the answer that some people, at least some people, do not hear. Now, one question I have that's along a similar line is if people felt that the election was not proper, that was not valid, why didn't people just refuse to accept the results rather than ask that they be rescinded, which means that you are putting into process and assumably would accept the results of the vote on that, whether people said yes, would accept or no?
Well,
and I guess...
I can only say, I think, two things. So just stepping back just a little bit. I mean, it's a matter of what rules here. If it's Robert's Rules of Order that run elections, or if it's the bylaws of Pacifica. Okay?
Let me answer that question quickly. Where the bylaws are explicit, the bylaws rule, and where they are silent or ambiguous, Robert's rules, the provisions of Robert's rules hold.
Okay. Well, I think they're pretty explicit in terms of the intent of having an election and how the votes can be counted and the method of counting and the processes that are in place to ensure the integrity of the election. As far as the other question is, there was chaos at the end of the meeting. You know, at the end of your PNB meetings, when the last things are coming up, people are talking to each other, they're getting ready to leave, they want to get home, they want to do this, they want to do that. There was chaos. People in local areas at the tables heard different things. There was no call to order by the chair. There was no vote on this. It was simply done, you know, in absence of any consent by the LSB. This is an important issue. It cannot be, you know, just simply dismissed. Okay? Mark Roberts and I, again, made objections. You would be able to hear these tonight if the recordings were done properly, which they weren't.
May I? Dave, this is Lydia. I also have a question. I think that Ray was asking...
Wait, Carol, is that you?
I didn't hear the answer, actually.
Well, Carol, hold on a second. Lydia would like to speak. I'm hearing another female voice. I think it's Carol. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Ray's question was never answered.
Okay, Ray, why don't you reiterate your question, and then we'll go around the horn from Joe to Carol to Lydia.
Well, in the same situation, I guess what I would have done is to say that this election is not valid and say why. So I was asking why people who disagree with the result, rather than saying they reject the result, actually ask that the vote be rescinded, which is setting up the process, a quote-unquote legal procedure,
right,
where you could, you know, accept, I'm assuming if you're asking for that you would accept the result of that vote on that.
Right. Well, my only answer to that is that I'm not that sophisticated. You know, it was clear the intent of wanting to rescind the vote because, you know, it was clear that a number of us thought the elections were improperly conducted.
Okay, so if I could just paraphrase that, you're saying that basically that was a technical, methodological point, but
absolutely,
people were not wedded to that particular approach. They
just
wanted to address.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Carol?
And I just want to restate that the original motion to accept the election passed and the vote to rescind failed. So there are
The numbers are in the report that I sent you. There are many people on the LSB, the majority on the LSB, who feel that we have candidates elected who we wanted elected, and would feel that it was that they have a right to have the candidates that they elected and now have twice confirmed that they want to have represent them on the committee.
As a parliamentary point, then Nat, maybe you can reference it. My understanding from Roberts, and I haven't found it.
I can't hear you, Dave. There's somebody. There's that noise again.
My understanding from Roberts is that, for example, a simple majority vote is not adequate in cases where you have something like a proportional representation vote, because the whole point is that a plurality that doesn't constitute a majority gets to have representation as a result of that process. So that any vote that would validate such a thing has to be more than just a majority. In fact, it has to be so many that it would be that the opposition is fewer than the plurality who might be disfranchised by the decision. And I'm looking for that those provisions as we speak. But Nat, are you familiar with that?
Your question. Hello.
Hi.
Your question is, you still there?
Yeah, hang on. I'd like to ask anybody who's not on the stack at the moment to please mute themselves, because there's some kind of noise going on in the background and it's really crazy making.
Point of privilege or something, could anyone with a cell phone try to put it on vibrate and stick it in their pocket or something so it's not ringing? And when they answer, could they please mute themselves?
Great. Thanks. Okay, so Nat, are you familiar with the sections I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, I think the question, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're wondering whether you just need it, but you still there?
Hold on a second. Okay, go ahead.
On the vote to sustain the election, your question is whether it needed more than the majority? Is that your question?
Here we go. I'm finding it. It's under preferential voting. The idea is that if a majority, if a plurality is objective.
No, it's a majority, not plurality.
No, but in STV, a plurality is...
The plurality is just a few more votes, but majority is, as you all know, is what it is, so I won't go off all of that.
Well, okay. Dave, can we move on, please?
Yeah, okay. We have Lydia and then Lonnie. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so my question is, it's George, right? My question is that you raised several issues of concern even prior to the end of the meeting. I mean, not verbalized.
Joe, yes.
But you were concerned because of the process, because there wouldn't be, because Jim Brown was involved in all of these things. My question is, at the time when there was no chaos, before you started voting, did anyone raise their hand and say, we would like an explanation of the process and we object to Jim Brown's being involved in the count, blah, blah, blah. That's what I want. I'm trying to find out. I'm going to take your word for what happened when it became chaotic.
Right.
But you had an entire meeting and you had an entire election distribution of ballots. At that point, didn't anyone raise any of these potential issues?
The simple answer is no, but let me put this in context. This election was supposed to be held in December. It was now being held in January. Okay, we had two people there that were neutral observers who were, working in data entry and the other methods. So there was no, in a sense, there was no threat at that point. You know, would it have been better if somebody that was not on the LSB had proceeded, had been the election supervisor? Certainly it would be, and that's the way it should run. However, we had, in the meeting place, there were enough assurances because of Dorcas and because of Ray Whitfield, that the ballots would be collected properly, counted properly, entered properly. Now, that went up to the ballots leaving the place without those assurances in place any longer.
Lonnie.
Oh, yeah. I'm not clear on just one central question. Would the inclusion of those two extra ballots affect the results of the election?
We don't know that yet.
They never did that.
There was a scenario run. I'm asking, was it so inconclusive that no conclusion could be made from it, or what?
They said they talked about doing that, but they didn't ultimately do the scenario run.
Okay. Second question is, as I understand Roberts hinges on whether or not an inclusion or exclusion in a situation like this would have materially changed the results of an election.
Correct.
And that overrides and supersedes process issues, unless you're dealing with violations of bylaws, not violations of Roberts, but violations of bylaws. So Roberts is clear. It says, look, there are process issues, and those process issues do not, in fact, change an election. Then the other lower-level process issues are not considered to be governing. That's my understanding of how Roberts works. It asks the central question, will inclusion in some scenario of the votes involved change the results? Is there a way to get to that point, or so we know?
That's a very good question. I think we'll deal with that once we get out of the question and answer period. How many more people have questions?
Mary Berg, I would like to be on the stack again when all the people have spoken once.
Well, this is okay. Teresa. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
So my question is, you know, as Lonnie just suggested, why have we not just counted to see if it would have made a difference?
This is Angela. Just to give you one answer to that question, I think one of the reasons that issue got kind of, I don't know, put on the back burner is because the issue of the chain of custody seemed to take more of a front burner stance.
So could you wait, before you go on, can you clarify what you mean by that?
So there were two separate issues. One was about the DQ'd ballots, and the other was about the validity of the election in general, since the ballots were in one person's custody, and that person was actually counting the votes without a witness, et cetera. And so I think that what happened was there were lots of opinions about what to do with the ballots that were DQ'd, but all of those became irrelevant if the whole election was going to be thrown out. So the votes that took place and the conversations that I've had with people seem to mostly be focused on, should we redo this whole election, in which case those two votes then became completely irrelevant.
And the idea being that the rationale of loss of chain of custody meant that you couldn't have confidence in the votes even if you did.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, I'm not quite sure if I'm hearing people say, I mean, I don't know whether people are going to own up to, hey, that was my ballot. But I haven't really heard anybody say, you disqualified my ballot.
We do know who the ballot with the duplicate ranking is.
Yes, that person did admit.
Can I ask a follow-up question on that point? My understanding is you have all those ballots. So is there any problem with everybody being able to have a look and make sure that their ballot is among those?
No, I can do that. In fact, we made the ballots available for inspection.
But there.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
So you still have the ballots.
But I still have the ballots. I have the ballots.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. They had witnesses entering them into the computer.
Exactly.
So the only question is about the two that were disqualified. So
I don't think that's true. I think the computer didn't work and they were re-entered later on.
No, they were not.
What the report says.
No, they were not.
What does the report say?
Wait. What does the report say, Mary?
The report says that all the ballots were entered before the site was left. All they were tabulated, and that Dorcas and Jim verified them twice that the entries were correct by looking at the ballots and looking at the entries. So
at what point was the printout made?
Say what?
I see no reference to a printout in here.
There's no way of knowing if entries were changed afterwards. You know, that's an easy thing to do. That's the issue here. You know, the issue is, what can we be certain of? In an election, you have to be certain that the election was conducted completely above board and without question. Now, I'm not saying Jim did anything, but I'm saying there is no, even if it were a typo, how many people make typos when they're just writing something? You say, oh, how did I do that? You know, how did that become something other than what I intended it to be? You know, so it doesn't even have to be purposeful. It could be unintentional, but it could happen. And it's much more likely not to be picked up if there's not somebody, you know, watching the process and validating, you know, each entry. And we had two people to do that at the place. And who knows if there's anything afterwards.
Joe, that's the primary reason why I did not attempt to re-enter any ballots. All I did was take the spaces out between the commas and the ballots.
Well,
that's all I did. I did not attempt
to do.
Let me finish. I did not attempt to re-enter any of the ballots because what Dorcas and I had entered into the computer before we left the meeting was going to stand, and that was what I was entrusted with. That's what I did.
I have many examples just today of my work on a computer resulting in unintentional mistakes. You know, and whether I pick them up immediately or I pick them up later on, you know, that's something else. So it doesn't have to be intent. It's not a process that one has confidence in.
Quite,
you know, even
isn't
if it's
it possible
unintentional.
Isn't it possible at this point for all the voters to be able to say, that's my ballot, those are my votes? And isn't it possible to go back and figure out that all of the ballots and the entries that are made correspond to the votes that the voters took at that time?
That, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, there are people that may not remember.
They wouldn't know.
You know, and, you know, I mean, I would have questions about number 3 and 4 on my ballot. I mean, I know 1 and 2, and I know 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 and 4, you know, it could have been one way or it could have been the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Would that make a difference in the outcome? I have no clue.
Okay, other questions?
Well, was there no one else on the stack?
Go ahead,
Ben. Okay.
Dave, look, will you let us know when we can speak without necessarily having a question to start?
Yeah, well, once we get through all the informational questions, then we're going to go to that dialogue.
Well, this is Mary Berg. My questions concerned the entry of the ballots. They were observed by another person, and
yes,
they were checked, verified twice. So that's the normal procedure, and I did not get an answer that I consider responsive or satisfying as to why the ballots were not sealed up. There'd be no reason whatever to enter them again. I'm familiar with that program. There's two completely different parts. That part didn't malfunction. The votes were there. Why would they not be sealed up? And the questions that I and others have had about the two disqualified ballots, I still have not got an answer, really. And as to why the election was not run, why Angela did not go ahead and do that, I see no reason why before the next meeting. The only answer we've gotten is that, well, since they voted not to rescind, there was no point. But before that, the person who someone should have run the election in the software with those ballots included in the two possible interpretations and to see if they affected the results, and then to bring that to the body, which should have been done before they voted to rescind. So I'm doubled by that. And the other thing is, I think there are 5 minutes left here, so
who is your question directed?
To any of the three people who could answer it.
I think the simplest answer to your question is all because of the chain of command issue. So the point was, I certainly offered to rerun the election, but the point that I heard was these ballots have been alone with Jim. he could have made, not that anyone was accusing him of doing it, but he could have made any changes to the ballots. So the question wasn't, did he put it into the software correctly? But if he were to send it to me to rerun, what's to say that those were the actual votes? Because they were, you know, because they weren't in a sealed envelope. As
you mean
said.
He could have changed the computer results? Because
he could have changed the computer results.
Didn't
he
need
could have
to enter. You didn't need to have the physical ballots. You mean he could have re-entered falsified ballots in the computer, you're saying?
Right. I mean, that was just the question, is like, it doesn't matter that he went home, he had the ballots, and he also had them in the computer. But as, you know, many people have pointed out, he could have changed the results in the computer, he could have changed the results on the ballots. So
there was one more question that never was answered. Dave Adelson asked if there was a printout made of the... You can print the part out.
Of the election results?
No,
it was
not
printed
the election
out, yes.
results. No, just the fact of what was entered. That's that part of the software. You can print out what that is without actually going to the part of the program.
Oh, you're saying just the
election.
Text file. The
where the
file
results
you...
of the count, yes. which was all done before the meeting was over, was
there
that
was no
printed out?
There was no printer at the meeting.
I think, okay, there was no printer at the meeting,
no.
so that was not done. Okay.
No,
what about, and Mary's other question regarded why weren't the ballots sealed and
right.
double-signed?
And given to a neutral person, at least, or sealed, and then reopened again in the presence, both sealed and reopened in the presence of witnesses, whether you ask for permission or not, that just seems standard procedure, and I don't understand why that wasn't done.
I guess I'm the one to answer that. This is Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And simply... No one thought of it at the time. If they did think of it, they didn't say it loudly enough for that to happen.
It would have been done. You know, people weren't. You know, people in different parts of the meeting place were hearing different things because people were noisy and getting ready to leave and everything. So, I mean, you know, it was set into the microphone. So, if this became an issue. You know, there would be a record of it. Now, of course, the recording had stopped. So,
may I, Dave? This is Carol.
Who is that? Go ahead, Carol.
Mm.
I think it's a matter of
people who took responsibility to get it done and did the best they could with the board, knowing what was going on, and I think that. Anyone on the board could have said at any time in a way that would have been heard if they had wanted to be heard, that we should stop and do it differently.
And just to add to that, wasn't the issue too that Jim didn't know what was wrong?
That's right. That was the reason he took the ballots.
I think his feeling was he was going to have to re-enter them.
We didn't know what
or I was going to re-enter.
Right.
A whole different program.
We thought that Jim might actually take the ballots to you, and I honestly did not remember that Angela had moved to Connecticut. I really did not
neither
remember
did I.
That.
You know, I've kept this impersonal on my part, but I object to what Carol just said, which was if somebody really would have wanted to be heard. Now, I said it loud enough to be heard. If people are not listening, that's not my fault. If the recording devices, which were supposed to be working, are not working, that's not my fault. You know, there's a shift of responsibility from people that had the responsibility to ensure the fairness and integrity of this election to those who are objecting that the fairness and integrity have been compromised. I think that's outrageous.
Dave, may I say one more thing?
And then we're going to have to wrap this up so the committee can...
And that is that I would really welcome anyone and everyone on the LSB who would like to learn more about how to run the software and who would like to be involved in a committee to document our procedures going forward. I would really welcome participation. Right now, Jim Brown's the only one who knows how to do it, and I would be... more than delighted to have Joe and several other people learn how to
be a
do
neutral
that next
party.
Year.
Wait. We're not going to be interrupting people. So finish up.
Sorry.
I just said that I would be very happy to have Joe and anyone else on the LSB who would like to be involved in a working committee to be sure that we have documented procedures and we have more than one person who knows how to run the software and is trained to do this next time. I'd be delighted to have those people working on that project.
Okay, well, I think at this point we need to, as a committee, to deliberate on this question. So I'm going to, unless there are any further questions for our guests, I'm going to thank everybody, and then we'll move to consideration of various motions or discussion that the committee will have. Is there any objection to that from the committee? Okay, hearing none, then thank you very much, everybody, and you're free to listen into the stream on KPFTX. And we'll be discussing this and coming forth, I imagine, with some kind of motion.
Okay,
so thank you very much to everybody.
Thank you very much.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Mary,
okay, I'd like
to chair this back. Should we vote to extend some time for this? Because we've run out of
would
time.
Would somebody like to make a motion? Lydia, do you want to
close
the time?
Move to extend.
How much?
15?
Okay.
Hello?
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 What happened to the call?
Well, I'm hearing you. What happened to the call? Aren't we on it?
This is Teresa, Deb, and Mary. Who else is on this call?
Amber.
I'm on the line. Amber.
Lydia.
Greg.
Okay. Well, everybody.
I'm on the line, Ray.
Yeah, we're all on.
Is Dave on?
Yeah. Oh,
sorry about that. I dropped off.
Oh. There he is.
Well, the noise went away, so...
Yeah. Lydia, do you want to, or did somebody make a motion to extend?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
For how much time?
15.
Any objection? Then let's go forward. Greg, before we do that, is that going to cause a problem with the attorney who we're going to be consulting and in the?
Well, he's probably waiting on the line. He'll call me. I guess he's. Well, you know, we'll just have to.
Okay.
Make another arrangement.
If we run into time trouble, I suggest we postpone the dealing with the meeting beyond for items other than the training, and we'll gain the time back there. Let's go ahead, Lydia. You wanted
okay.
to speak to
yes, us. I have a number of points.
Point of information. We have an attorney waiting to come on the phone.
Yeah, I'm going to
and
rule.
We also have an HR person to come on the phone.
But that,
why can't we postpone this discussion since the WPFW people are gone? Because we have two people waiting on us.
Not yet.
I know, but it's getting late where they are.
Yeah,
they're both
they're,
West Coast. It's
they're
not
both
late.
West
there's
Coast,
only
yeah.
But it's
seven.
7 o'clock at night there.
I know.
They were prepared for it to be much later than this based on the proposed agenda. So
yeah.
Let's just go on
okay.
at this
yeah.
point since it's before us.
Okay. So number one, I'm concerned that no one had the presence of mind to object to the process earlier in the meeting. Number two, I'm concerned that people did not show up to view the ballots when they were given the opportunity. But beyond all of that, I'm very concerned about even if you rerun the election. I mean, there's absolutely no way that you should have a new election. I mean, that's totally outrageous and would be politically motivated, in my opinion. However, that aside, even rerunning the election is that my concerns are, what do you do if there is a change? Then you have to, A, unseat a director, and the bylaws are very specific about causes for unseating a director, and this isn't one of them. Number two, if you unseat the director, then do you reverse all of the votes, which is an issue before the PMB at the moment with regard to Ken Freeland? Do you then reverse all of the votes of any director that might not have made the election? And number three, if we spent the time that we spent tonight arguing about this, we could have developed a policy so that this doesn't happen again. We have wasted hours, and if we go to the next step of trying to rescind something, that we are going to end up wasting far more hours and doing what the PMB is noted for, which is just to argue, usually because of polar opposites, and developing nothing that will help us in the future. Number three, or I must be under number five
you're
by
under,
now.
You're under number four.
Is that... Just to magnify what the real problem here is as well, is I used this as an example on a previous call. In Los Angeles, Dave Adelson, who is currently our chair, lost the election per the computer. But it was a tie prior to that by following the bylaws, which are not ambiguous. They're so specific that they tend to shortcut an adequate process. And he won by a coin toss. So when people are saying this
toss,
is...
not
this,
coin toss.
Pardon? What did I say?
You said coin toss.
Oh, coin toss, coin toss. Anyway, so, but when people say this is such a do-or-die issue, the fact of the matter is that everybody has been, the LSB has been elected and have their standing because the listeners have voted for them. That is really what gives them the legitimacy and the standing. And the bylaws, by the very fact that they reduce it to a coin toss, that you can end up being on the PMB or not with a coin toss, puts into perspective that it's not that serious at the end of the day. And the amount of time that we're wasting is absolutely outrageous. I think once you have seated a director, I think that's it. I think there are lessons to be learned, to be sure, and I'll address that during the next portion of the agenda. But I absolutely think the election should stand. We need to move on. It was clear from and also the only nonpartisan person here is Angela, and in her written report, she also recommended that we move on, and I don't think you can have a better opinion than that, and she has clearly been involved in so much of this. So that's my opinion.
Okay. I definitely would like to get on the stack after... Hang on a sec. Greg?
After the noise stuff.
Yeah, I think it's Greg. Greg?
No, it's not me.
It's not you? Who is...
Well, look, can we take turns star sixing to sing?
Yeah, well...
Greg, star six and
sing. Ray, I apologize. I'm putting it on.
Okay, Ray, thank you. I definitely have some statements I'd like to make, but I'll defer to other members if they'd like to speak first.
Hi, this is Yolanda. Shall I call back again?
Please do. We're going to take about another 15 minutes on this.
I concur with Lydia.
Okay. Other comments? Okay, I'd like to say a couple of things, and I differ with Lydia strongly. And I think that the one thing that nobody is disputing is that two ballots whose intent was clear were excluded from consideration. The idea that once, because we can go through all these rules, all the little detailed stuff, and people are going to focus on which rules they think rule. Some people think, for example, that section of Roberts that I read as to procedure rules. But basically what we would be doing here is saying that if you can get to the point of getting a majority to agree, and once people are seated, that's that, and that any disenfranchisement is now mooted. And I think if we look at what we as an organization have stood for with respect to other elections, what we've stood for is the right of people to have their votes counted. And in this case, again, there's no dispute whatsoever that 10% of the votes cast, more than 10, 2 out of 18, and a third of those, more than a third of those required to get representation of a plurality, were excluded. They're excluded on the basis of a technicality when Robert says that you don't do that and prescribes a process for it. Now, I don't want to, I would like to separate the question of then what does one do from the question of saying whether or not there's been a problem. And the motion that I had developed was the following. I won't introduce it yet, but the motion I had developed was, whereas no party is disputing that during the WPFW election, two ballots whose intent was unambiguous were excluded and therefore not counted, where these two ballots represent 10% of the total ballots cast and a third of the votes necessary to elect a representative of that in that election, and thus could potentially alter the outcome of the STV election of representatives, resolved that a remedy is required, that potential remedies must be submitted to the PMB within 30 days and agreed to by the PMB and executed within 60 days, that such a remedy shall involve either a recount of all original ballots or the holding of a new election, and four, that recommendations on the preferred remedy may be submitted to the PMB by any or all of the following: Coordinating Committee, Elections, Governance Committee, and the WPFW-LSB, with minority reports from any committee submitting a recommendation also being received. The reason I want to separate this, the remedy, from the recognition of a problem is that, you know, there, as Lydia mentioned about the politicized aspect of how you do the remedy, that's at play. And I don't think we have the time nor even the expertise at this time for this committee to recommend that. But I do think we have to recognize that a remedy is required. Ballots were excluded, and I don't think technicalities one way or the other should be used to avoid ballots whose meaning was clear. And I just look at the history of use of technicalities to disenfranchise voters. I don't think it's a pretty history, and I don't want to be with an organization that does that. And that's my position.
Mary Bird?
Mary, go ahead.
And Lydia, I also want to be on the stack.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Dave. It's clear in this case, for example, that the whole threshold would have been different. It would have been 6 instead of 5, and that would have altered just a cursory glance at the thing in this report here tells me that. So one would have to run the whole thing. It would very likely affect the election. And for the reasons Dave says, I think we have to at least have a remedy. Furthermore, as to what we do, which I definitely think should be separate as a separate issue, I think it would not be impossible to follow a sort of a precedent and practice that's been developed in other situations. And the people who are sitting sit until they are changed, and they would be changed by rerunning this election, maybe. And in that, so the decisions they made would stand. And then at the time the new ones are, the different ones are seated, there's no reason to go back and invalidate everything. I know that's a motion before us, but by another member. But I don't find that has merit.
Anybody else want to speak before we return to Lydia?
Yes, it's Deb.
Deb, go ahead.
I am also. I just want to be sure that my voice is heard. I'm also very concerned about the disqualification of the ballots. I am not so concerned about what happened to them after the meeting. I know a lot of people are, but that's not my concern. But if you cannot have unquestioned faith in the process that your vote will count and be counted, you really undermine the whole business of elections and have really pulled the rug out from any faith in the institution. I really think we absolutely must have a remedy. I don't think we need to suggest it, although somebody may have a better idea than I do what to do, but something needs to be done.
Anybody else before we return to Lydia?
Yeah, this is Ray.
Go ahead, Ray.
Well, I think there's some troubling questions there, and no matter what the intent was, it's regrettable that it took place that way. I also think that my understanding, at least, is that no matter how painful it is, if you do rescind the vote, that if you change the result and the directors remove that any place where the directors vote might have changed that result, that you would have to do those votes over. Now, that being said, do you have any? I'm sorry?
You would have to do what?
Those votes over.
Okay. All right.
With a new representative present voting. But I don't know if anybody has the resolution from Bob. The resolution, if I remember, was to send it back to the LSB for reconsideration.
But that's happened already. This is occurring because the LSB brought forth its recommendations to the PNB, and the PNB referred this issue now to us, because I think there were members who did not agree with the...
Well, the LSB didn't bring it to you. A couple of dissidents brought it to you.
No, the LSB...
We have 2 more minutes.
We referred it to the LSB, and the LSB put forth a report. And then
that's right.
And then when we were talking about receiving it, the PNB sent it to the coordinating committee to deal with a recommendation coming out of the report from the PFW. If you recall, the report was not ready at the PNB meeting, so it was asked that we take. Actually, it was your motion to send it.
My motion to send it to this committee,
and to have all the parties.
But the LSB never asked the board or the committee to do a darn thing. Mr. Phelps got together with the two dissidents and tried to get this whole thing done. And anybody looked at the instructions on the ballot?
Yeah.
I don't understand how. In fact, the guy who recognized his ballot and recognized that he had done it wrong didn't say that the ballot was tampered with.
Well, that was the where there was a duplicate. The other thing was.
Yeah, look.
We have 1 minute left.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
My next.
If there's no one else, I'd like to extend time another 10 minutes.
I vote to do that. I vote to extend time another 10 minutes.
Wait a minute. I ask a question.
Is there any objection to 10 minutes extension?
I mean, I move to do
okay,
that.
Okay, go ahead. Well, what do you want to ask a question about, Teresa?
I wanted to ask Ambrose again. You're saying that the person who acknowledged that it was his, he was the person to vote for number 6 twice. He did not have any problem with his ballot being disqualified because he acknowledges that he is the one that it's in.
He acknowledges that was his ballot.
Yeah, what Ambrose is saying is that he acknowledges that his ballot was not altered.
That's right.
I see, okay.
Nobody messed with the ballots.
Lydia?
Okay. Well, number one, the characterization that there's a uniform opinion that these ballots can be counted or whatever is not universal. Just right before the meeting, I had a message through another member of our election committee that Art Stasny, who is, you know, our renowned STV person, who said he may not have counted the one with the duplicate ranking, and he gave an extensive rationale for that. So to think that's universal is not accurate, and Angela explained why the one with the alphabet, with the ABC might not have been counted. So we should not be jumping to conclusions about or characterizing other people's opinions about that we all agree that those should be counted. That's number one. Also, there's a mischaracterization about majority-minority. Again, in the KPFK instance, Dave Adelson is neither the majority nor the minority faction on the board, and yet he, again, through a coin toss and a tie, got his seat. And my understanding is that at WPFW there isn't necessarily two clear slates like there are in other signal areas and so forth. So it's not like you're not being fair in saying, oh, this represents the minority. You don't know that. You don't know if one of the directors that is currently elected represents a block of opinion that is not reflected in a majority-minority scenario. And I think that that's really presumptuous, and I really object to characterizing things that may or may not be true. We need to stick to the facts and to the larger issues here. And again, no one is addressing to me what I'm throwing out, which is what do you do if there were a change, which I don't believe there necessarily would be, but I don't know. And how do you remove the director and still abide by the bylaws? And what do you do with all of the votes that that director has cast? Do you reverse them, and do we reconsider all of the motions they voted on? You better be prepared to answer those questions before you hastily move on this motion.
Yeah, I'd like to speak. I'm not saying that that everybody agrees. What is undisputed is that two ballots were excluded, and I think it's also undisputed, whether or not it's undisputed what their intent was, it's clear, at least the section in Roberts that says if it could change the election, then it has to be put before the body, and Lonnie made that point. Nobody has determined whether or not those two votes could have affected the election. We heard clearly from Angela and from Jim that the scenario test that Lonnie referred to was not done, so we can't know that. The reason I want to separate the need for a remedy from all these other confounding questions is indeed to just be clear that no remedy is required. And the reason that's important to me is, were we not to do that, what you would essentially be doing is creating an incentive or a potential incentive to simply make elections rules complex.
Mm-hmm.
Because failure to, and Joe put it well, the transfer of the burden to the people who were trying to say, hey, there's a problem, to them rather than on the people responsible for the election to make sure it was done according to the rules is I don't think appropriate. The whole point of STV is you have minorities who have a right to representation. And the problem with a majority vote that says, okay, we agree, is that if the majority is opposed to the interests of the minority, the vote has to be at least large enough to include, the vote validating has to be at least large enough to include members of, enough members of the minority whose representation might have been compromised. To be concrete, if it required six votes and you had 18 people, I would think that you would need at least 15 votes to validate it, so at least some of the members of that minority would have to say, okay, we'll live with it. But this is why this is why I want to separate the issue to say there was a problem with the selection and a remedy is required, and then we'll deal with the remedy as a separate matter. So I'm gonna move
Hello?
That motion I read earlier. Go ahead, Hello? Teresa.
Okay,
and then Lonnie.
I think, Dave, that's why it's in our hands, because I mean I agree with you that a simple majority by the LSB could actually be perpetuating the problem that they're claiming, that there's a minority, and you just, if you have a simple majority, it's going to exclude them forever. So that's why it's in our hands, for us to make a decision. But I also agree with Lydia. If the person who had the one ballot who didn't have any names on it, just had one, two, three, or however many candidates were, and they just put A, B, C on them, then you're not sure whether they were saying that A was the first candidate and they wanted that to be a one, or I don't think you could tell. So my question to you is, Dave, where does it say that any time that there is a ballot disqualified that you have to take it to the whole body?
That's in the voting procedures section of Roberts. I'll send you the reference. Lonnie?
We have one more minute.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Yeah, just a couple of quick points. I think we have with this instant runoff process, we've adopted a process which ends up being far more complicated than we anticipated, and we haven't come up with the supporting policies in the conduct of the election such that we don't run into problems like this. So first point I'm making is this is complicated, and there should have been and should be not as many ambiguities. We should have adopted some policies around how you handle situations like this. It is unfortunate that you have to decide elections by coin toss, and also whether a person put A, B, or C. That's unfortunate, and there has to be and should be policy around it. We haven't done that. The second one is the issue of whether or not those two ballots were what their intent was, and was that clear? I thought I heard the elections person say he could read those ballots at least two ways.
Well, only two ways. There were two possibilities.
Sorry, Mary, let me finish.
Sorry.
What I heard was at least two ways. So, that makes it more difficult to use the fact of the ballots to identify intent, you know. The other one is, I don't think that there's a good remedy in the absence of policy. And to go back on Roberts, Roberts doesn't decide elections for you. All Roberts says is if you think the result of the election, given the assumption of knowing the intent, this is what you do. Well, we don't know intent. That's the part of the problem from my point of view. And the last point I'll make is that whatever, if we make a decision and adopt a remedy, we have to be prepared to also adopt the policies to support any remedy we might come with. And that, indeed, I agree with Lydia's point there. We are not prepared to do it. We don't. And apparently, you can't just adopt a motion and then walk away. You have to adopt what we call operating policies that eliminate some of the ambiguities so that the situation isn't replicated. So my view is, I guess I'm with Lydia, that this one is... doesn't have an immediate remedy available to us, and we should move on.
Okay, well, I've put my motion forward, and we're at time. So
and your Gatewood motion to rescind was defeated by 9-5.
Right. Okay. So So the motion I've put forward is resolved that a remedy is required, that potential remedies must be submitted to the PMB within 30 days and agreed to by the PMB and executed within 60 days, that such a remedy shall involve either a recount of all original ballots or the holding of a new election for representatives, that recommendations on the preferred remedy may be submitted to the PMB by any or all of the following: Coordinating Committee, Elections Committee, the Governance Committee, and the WPFW-LSB. Minority reports from any committee submitting a recommendation will also be received. So since we're at time, unless there's debate, a motion to extend time for debate on this, we should go to a vote.
I have a point of privilege, Mary Berg. Dave, could you send me those? It sounds like you're reading
them.
Sure, yeah. Okay, then I'll get the language. And
I'll send it to the whole coordinating committee.
Okay.
Yeah, and let's see it before we vote on it.
Well, I understand what it says. I'm willing to vote now.
Okay, so unless there's an motion to extend time to debate, then we'll go to a vote.
Could you explain the motion?
Okay.
In terms of the committee assignments?
So what it says is that any of the four committees, Coordinating, Elections, Governance, or the WPFW-LSB, may weigh in on this, that they are to submit a proposal for potential remedies.
Who is they?
The committees, any of these committees, Coordinating, any or all. Coordinating, Elections, Governance, and the WPFW-LSB.
Could you put me on the stack, Teresa, here?
Well, then we're going to need an extension of time.
Well, so move, Lonnie.
Okay, 5 minutes?
How about 10 minutes? We never do anything.
10 minutes, please.
10 more minutes, okay. So any of those committees, from the time, if the PNB if this committee votes in favor of this motion and the PNB ratifies it, then 30 days from the date of ratification, any of those committees can submit to the PNB its recommendations for a remedy, at which time the PNB would act on, would vote on the remedy it selected, and that remedy would need to be executed within 60 days. And the remedy shall involve either recount of all original ballots or the holding of a new election.
I'm out on the stack.
Go ahead.
Dave, I appreciate you giving so much thought to this, but I think you're making it so, so complicated that we could conceivably have three committees working on this, dropping everything else to work on it, and then fighting or us trying to figure out which of the three remedies that are proposed would be the one that we want to pick. I don't think that's the answer. I just really don't, and I think that's kind of like creating bylaws by different committees or station areas where we ended up with like 7 versions, and it was like gut-wrenching to pick one of them.
Do you have an amendment?
I have an amendment.
I'm just wondering doesn't WPFW have a LSB meeting scheduled this week?
Yeah, but the problem is we sent it to the LSB, and the LSB sent it back to us, and they said, in their estimation, it was fine. If those of us who don't agree it's fine disagree, then to send it back to them alone.
Well, if we decide that we want them to hold another election on this Thursday or whenever their meeting is, do we have the authority to decide that?
I believe we do, but the issue is not that the point of this motion is not to say that that is the remedy. The point is to say, you know, it's a complex issue with which, as Lydia and others have pointed out, has a number of moving parts in it. The committees can choose to work on it. I know the Elections Committee has a working group that continues to work on it autonomously. I don't think this committee, I disagreed with the motion to send it to this committee, but that's not germane. I don't think this committee has the time or the expertise to dig into this. I actually think Elections, Governance, and the WPFW-LSB should be the ones who are putting forth their opinions. But it's an important issue, and the fact that it's going to take some time is you know, just what it is. As Lonnie and Lydia said, we clearly are going to need some implementing policies on these things, and so it's going to take time.
Mary Berg, can I be on the stack?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to make an amendment instead of any of four committees, I would say that the election committee should. We have done a great deal of work on that. We have a set of standards for how you look at ballots and several other things, so I would amend.
I have a problem with the way the election committee conducted itself last time, because
Ambrose,
you didn't
Ambrose, could you let her
listen
finish
to other people?
Could you let her finish and then raise the
yeah.
election? Go ahead.
That's Rena Senate here.
Well, the election committee didn't have a mandate to do it. It was just moved to send it over here, which is fine, but I'm amending Dave's motion to say that the remedy should, that the elections committee should propose one within 60 days.